Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, this is the moment you've all been waiting for.
Hey, gentlemen. Show and Clinton Show, I love your show. You guys are great.
And I've been listening to 610 since back in the 80s. This is the best combination for afternoon drive time sports radio I've ever heard. Show, Clint, you guys got it going on, man. I really appreciate your show.
Oh, Show, Clint, I love the show, man.
You guys are by far my favorite show to listen to.
I love what y'all do. I'm in love with the show, man.
Thank you guys for bringing us a first-class sports show to the city.
I love you guys. You guys are amazing, man.
Listen to the show. Really like what you guys are doing.
What's up, Clint? How y'all doing, man?
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Ah, day 42. Somebody let us know where the hell Nasty Ass Jim is. Day 42, we're on the hunt to find out where Nasty Ass Jim is.
Holy cow.
Please be alive and with us. We got a lot to get to today, baby. A lot to get to. But, I mean, Astros Twitter. I love it. This gets me going. You talk about sports horny. You talk about sports swooning. You talk about all of that. I love it when, you know, you got a team that you care about, and games like this matter, and people are just enthused. I mean, Houston was pissed this morning. I heard it from Sean Pendergast and Seth. They were hot. I was listening to Landry and Lopez. They're smoking hot. I've talked to several people. Tyler is sweating through all of his clothes. I mean, this is beautiful, Clint. This is beautiful.
Which part of it is beautiful? I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to get to your point.
Just the emotion.
Yeah, fair enough.
The emotion of people.
Fair enough.
You just want me to get to my point.
Yeah, I mean, I know where you're going with this,
but you love it.
It's great. I love it too.
Listen, everyone. You know what happened yesterday? The Astros were leading 2-0, and in the eighth inning, two outs in the eighth inning, everything went south. Urquidy was taken out after he gave up a infield single.
Urquidy.
Montero was brought in by Dusty Baker. And then four runs were given up, and the Astros ended up losing 4-2.
Well.
In a tough game, a game that all year long they've won this type of game. When they've had late innings and they've used their bullpen and they've had leads this late, they weren't able to win, and the White Sox win game one of this series. Here was Dusty talking about Jose Urquidy and why he felt like he had to take him out.
You know, everything started unraveling in that one inning. Started with a little infield dribbler, and you know, we thought that Jose had enough. Has gone to, you know, guys that were very dependable, and they flared one to right, hit one down the line. You know, Mancada, who's been struggling, it just sometimes not your night, and that unraveled like very, very quickly. It was tough to take. It's tough. But, you know, and Urquidy pitched great. You know, I mean, that was the furthest he had gone. And, man, you know, you hate to have him a wasted night like that, but he can take that night until his next start. Boy, he was outstanding. And Maldi was outstanding in his game calling.
All right, that was Dusty. Correction to Dusty. There has been a game against the A's this year where Urquidy went eight innings. So this is the second longest start of the season in terms of innings, Clint. But you much like a lot of people around here, had an issue with how that eighth inning went from Dusty Wright.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think I have an issue, just generally speaking, of when a starter's out there rocking and rolling, pitching well. It hadn't unraveled when he pulled him. That's just not a true statement about what Dusty said. I mean, it was an infield dribbler, and it wasn't unraveling. The guy was still pitching well, and you made a gut decision, and it ended up backfiring on you. I never, like, whether it's Dusty or anybody, I never like the thought of pulling a starter that's in rhythm, that's pitching well, that there's no red lights flashing, telling you to pull this guy. The pitch count wasn't extreme. He had pit, as Lopez and Landry outlined 30 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, whatever it was. I mean, there was no real reason other than Dusty's gut to pull Urquidy at that point in time, and it backfired on him. I don't like the thought of pulling a starter that's in a groove, in a rhythm, that the other team is having a difficult time tracking, difficult time getting good solid wood on him, on his pitches, and going to somebody that you don't know what you're going to get out of the bullpen. You don't know what kind of day that particular guy's having. I know right now there was a few nights, two nights, I believe, before Montero had pitched. His last two outings have been rough. He had thrown less than 24 hours before. I get all that, and that's again, those are important. That's important context to why Dusty shouldn't have gone to Montero. But I don't need to go any deeper than just, I mean, Urquidy was rocking and rolling, and you had no reason to pull him.
Yeah, I don't kill Dusty for the eighth, because I think you've talked about this a lot with the Texans or anything. Like, I don't have to agree with it, but, you know, if it makes sense and I can understand it, that's cool. So, like, two things that happened last night. If you're upset with Dusty because of the construction of the lineup, I can't do any of it. It doesn't make any sense to have the lineup the way he had it, to have those two guys at the top. Didn't make any sense. And then both of them, one goes 1-for-5 and one goes 1-for-4. Like, that doesn't make any sense to have 207, 240 at the top of your lineup. But in the eighth inning yesterday, see, I think there were some signs. I think, and I've heard managers do this a ton. In the seventh inning for Urquidy, there was some hard hit balls. Now, some of them were outs. He gave up a single to Abreu. He hit a guy, and then the first batter got really good wood and hit a ball deep into left center field. So there were hard hit balls in the seventh. Then he said, "All right, I'm gonna let you come out in the eighth." And I've seen managers forever do this, and I can understand it, and it makes sense. To where he says, "All right, I'm gonna let you go out here, but if the tying run comes to the plate, I'm going to turn to one of my great relievers." And Montero struggled in his last outing, but he has been one of the best relievers in Major League Baseball. Even with his struggles, his ERA is just over 2. Should have been an all-star. He has been, as he said, dependable. I don't have a problem with bring the tying run up and in the eighth inning. All right, he hung a curveball that he got away with the first batter that just missed it. And then Garcia hit a bullet on a line to that chased Alvarez to the warning track that he was able to catch. Got good wood on it. Then he got the tying run on base, and this was about to be the fourth time he goes against the top of the order. And he said, "You know what? I'm going to take him out, and I'm going to put in one of my dependable relievers who have been good all year long." Right? Just because he had one outing like Ryan Pressly did doesn't mean I'm not going to use him anymore. He brought his guy. That at least makes sense to me. That at least makes sense to me. Verlander, a little different. That's your horse. Framber, a little different. That's your horse. He had given up some hard contact. He is hanging pitches, missing spots, and getting away with it. And now the tying run comes to the plate. He says, "I'm going to get it. I'm going to bring in my reliever who has been good all year." It didn't work. I will say this right now. If Dusty did this and has Urquidy in the playoffs, in a postseason game, and said, "I'm going to take him out with the tying run coming to the plate, and I'm going to bring in one of my star relievers," I would not have a problem with it one iota, just like I did last night. It didn't work. It didn't work. And did it ultimately cost him the game? Sure. There's a difference of things that make sense and don't make sense. So me, in the eighth inning, I didn't have a problem with what Dusty did. Before the game, I did.
Yeah, that's your take on it. I mean, it doesn't. I'm sticking with it where it just doesn't make sense for me to. to pull a guy out that's rocking and rolling. I mean, there's guys that get hit hard. There's guys that go a whole outing, and there's several hard hit balls to left field, to center field, to third base. But they get through it. I have a really, like, back to my point, I have a really hard time when you pull a starter that's rocking and
rolling. What were you thinking when you saw Dusty walk out there with his mask and gloves?
Why?
And he was coming out.
Why? Like, I'm not just mashing Dusty for it. I don't like when anybody does it. I don't like when a starter.
You don't care who the pitcher is.
It shouldn't. Like, okay, so if Verlander's out there and Verlander goes through exactly what you just said, the seventh inning he gets hit hard a couple of times, the first two outs in the eighth inning gets hit hard a couple of times, and then gives up a bloop single or a dribble single, it's okay to leave Verlander in there or Fromber in there, but not Urquidy. Like that's.
Well, I trust a.
Easy now. You trust who?
I trust a tired Verlander and a tired. Or a tiring Verlander and a tiring Framber, as much as I trust a rested Montero. I don't feel the same way about my fifth starter, Urquidy. Especially watching what I watch. Like, if you got these hanging curveballs that he got away with that should have been deposited. He's given up hard hit balls in the last two innings.
We talk about how, okay, well he struggled. If the guy you're bringing in has struggled his last two outings. I mean,
one of which 24 hours ago.
I'm not completely disagreeing with you. If what you see is, hey man, it's a gut instinct to pull this guy because they're starting to track him better and they're starting to get better wood on the ball, and I'm going to go to my guy. But you can't pull a tiring anybody and put in a guy that's been tired his last two outings and justify it. I mean, it's hard to justify pulling Urquidy because he got hit hard a couple of times, and at the same breath justify going to Montero when his last two outings, he's struggled. It's not about – great. They're all good pitchers. They're all great. But the gut feeling of Dusty, I think, is – it bit him in the ass.
Well, Montero's last outing was worse. Not yesterday was bad. The one before was worse. The one before that, he gave up a home run, right? I mean, that happens sometimes. It was one hit and a home run. Like, that happens. He has been – one of the best relievers in the American League all year long.
I completely agree.
The day after Presley gave up those runs against the Yankees,
right?
If the Astros were up 3-1 in the ninth, you're going to Presley again the next day, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, I would. Yeah,
you're going to your guy. And he's been your eighth inning guy all year. He had a bad outing. Like you're going to him.
Yeah, I mean, but I would. But at least
I can understand it.
I can understand all of it, but I don't understand. Like, Dusty goes to the podium and explains the reasoning behind what he did, and it doesn't make sense.
No, well, Dusty,
it's not accurate. It's not that. I'm less concerned about the decision making and the act. Like, if you want to, I never like pulling a starter and going to a bullpen guy that you don't know what you're going to get out of the bullpen, whether he pitched yesterday, good, bad, or indifferent. I don't like it. But if we're going to dissect the decision that Dusty did make, you're pulling a starter, and if your justification is things unraveled and he got hit hard, the guy you're putting in there, the last time we saw him, he got hit hard. The last time, the two times ago, he gave up a home run, he got hit hard. When we're talking about his home run, it just happens. But when you're talking about Urquidy, it's a problem and we got to get him out of there. It's just hard.
Because what happened in those two different days. Like, I mean – so, like, from that thought process, when's the next time you use Montero?
Like, I mean, not 24 hours later in a two-run game.
But I mean, okay, his last two outings, he has struggled. But although he's been one of the best pitchers, when's the next time you use him?
It's not about Montero. To me, it's about you don't pull Urquidy with two outs in a game when he's dealing. I mean, it's easy. I understand your point of like, hey, I saw it. I watched it. I can sit here and explain to you a couple of guys lined him out, a couple of guys lined up and got good wood on the ball, and we're going to use that as justification of pulling a guy that's dealing. I mean, that same stuff happens to other guys, and they get in and out of it, and we move on.
Let me tell you what I think happened. Going into that eighth inning, because managers do this a lot. All right, it's 2-0. Cueto just blew away Tucker. I mean, the offense has not done anything since the first inning. But they said to themselves, if the tying run gets up to the plate, I am going to go to my bullpen so I don't lose it.
if the time runs,
I understand that is a Major League Baseball
you don't like
excuse.
That. You don't like going right into it.
But that's just you're taking the dusty factor completely out of it. And the reason why managers, generally speaking, will pull a starter with two outs in an inning where he's been dealing, the lineup's turning over, they're starting to get better. Okay, I get that. I understand that.
But I'm telling you, that's what seemingly happened in the game. Like, somebody got on, eighth inning, tying run up, bam, I'm gonna get him. Like, that seemed like that was the game plan. And listening to you, it's just like, hey, man, he's rolling. There shouldn't have been a leash for him to go in the eighth inning.
He hadn't given up a run. Yeah, I mean, if we want to say, like, to me, it's not – like, when I hear Dusty say things have unraveled, like, hey, man, we've at least given up some runs. How about that?
No, they've unraveled.
How about we give up a double? How about we let him hit something in the gap instead of going, boy, that ball was hit right at the left fielder, man. If that ball would have been hit 20 yards to the right in that gap, that would have been a double or a triple.
Well,
I mean, that's my biggest problem is when Dusty starts explaining it. It's like, no, things didn't unravel. You had a gut feeling. You thought it was the right way to go. It backfired on you. It bit you in the ass, right? It's just like, and we're talking about the same guy that makes these lineup decisions, that's making this decision, and then going to the podium and explaining it in just odd ways, man, where I'm just going.
Yeah, Dusty be just saying stuff. Like, he's saying he's never seen people pitch before. He just, like, Dusty says a lot of just stuff where you're just like, what the hell is he?
That's the kind of stuff we killed David Culley for last year.
Yeah, but like, we can't put Dusty, a Hall of Fame manager,
but
in
we
the same,
can.
In the
but
same,
I love Dusty.
You can. I'm not going to put Dusty and David Culley in the same category.
He's saying
Dusty
things that are completely not right, just like David Culley did. I'm saying. I'm not comparing their careers. But he's out here saying Montero was our most rested guy. No, he wasn't.
But you can. But see that. Now, I'm not going to tell you. You can do what you can kill him. And say, like,
I'm not killing him. I'm just saying we need to be critical of this decision.
You can be critical of it. My thing is, I've heard fireable, get rid of
no,
him.
No.
I've heard like this one didn't even make sense. No, it made sense. And I don't even think it was a gut thing. Like, I can honestly sit there and say, we talked to our staff. All right, it's 2-0. If the tying run comes to the plate, and the lineup flips over, and he's going to face them for the fourth time, and I'm watching him, and he's hanging curveballs, and they're getting hard contact in the last two innings, and Abreu is coming, their big bats are coming, I'm going to get him out and put in, and I know what Montero did the last outing, and put in a guy who has been dominant all season long and dependable that I trust. Like, you may not like it, which I understand your point, and I understand people say, don't take Urquidy out. I get it. Like, I hear you, man. It's 7-2/3. Let's go. He was rolling. Right, let's see if he can get out. I get it. That can make sense. But this also makes sense. This is not like putting Dubon and leading him off. That one, I got no explanation for.
Who made the last out in the ballgame, by the way, with runners on base?
Either it was him or Chaz.
Well,
and he had already just gotten back-to-back pitches.
The decision to hit him first, start him off.
Yes.
He got more at bats than
anybody else.
I'm not going David Culley with Tyler.
I can't do that.
But I get where he's going. I'm more on that level of where my concern is driven solely by the silly decisions that seem to be going on and the silly explanations of why things occur or why decisions are made. Not necessarily the decision itself in a vacuum. It's more about, okay, on the flip side of it, the almost trying to justify it with BS. I'm just going, that's tough.
All right, coming up. You love Dameon Pierce for what you saw on the field, but it is more. We'll tell you what that is next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Driscoll digs in. Hand off to the rookie Pierce. Little cut to the left. Now straight ahead. 35, 30, 25, and ridden down across the 21-yard line. Big pop there by Pierce. And Damian gives the Texans a first down at the 20, a 20-yard run.
Ah, that is the star of game one. Real quick, around the horn. Anybody think they've, now that you had a little time to think about it, you think you kind of, you know, overreacted with Damian Pierce yet?
No.
You know, I'm just wondering if anybody is like, all right, it's Tuesday. Let me slow down on Damian Pierce. You still feel like he is. You didn't overreact on that from
no, I don't feel like I overreacted. I don't think my eyes lied to me. I think you look at Pep Hamilton and Lovie Smith. You look at their comments post game. Their eyes saw the same stuff we saw. And so yeah, there's a lot of things that have validated the thoughts on Damian Pierce. I think it's the real deal, bro.
I don't either. I've watched all 5 carries here several times, and no, I don't think I wanted to give myself. Am I doing too much here? Just come up here and say, well, it's 5 carries. I'm like,
yeah, but it's still been a while since we've seen anyone run like that.
Yeah, because I'm not. I don't think any of us are putting him in. Like, all right, man, this dude is going to be one of the best backs in the league. I'm just saying, like, this is.
I'm telling you today, right now, he's better than Marlon Mack, and he's better than Rex Burkhead in terms of what they can physically do. Now, I'm sure. He's better. I think he's better than Marlon Mack any way you slice it. But the Burkhead aspect of it, of, you know, never being fooled with pressures and always, like, just, I mean, I bet he bats 1,000 in terms of his grade sheet after a game. You know, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that he's ready for that level of the mental game, but he's physically an upgrade, a significant upgrade over Mack and Burkhead, and I would say he's all around better than Mack, in my opinion. So no, I'm in no way, shape, or form am I worried about that I've oversold Damian Pierce at this point.
Damian Pierce, he was in the post game as he spoke to the media. I know for you, all right, there's one piece of it, just, all right, what you do on the field, but then, as somebody who has played the game, I don't know if I've ever thought about all of the other stuff as much until I've worked with you on a day-to-day basis. I remember one of the first conversations we had was like, that quarterback, if he goes in the lunchroom and he sits there, how many people, like, how important that kind of stuff is. Well, off the field, the other stuff to understand what type of player you are and you have jumps out. This is maybe a glimpse into what Dameon Pierce brings. He was talking about waiting when it was going to be his turn to get in the game. This was him after the game.
First quarter go by. I'm still ain't in. So DB, you know, y'all, if y'all know DB, y'all already know. Rook, you on a dick. Man. You feel me? But like once I got on the turf though, you know, I calmed down, you know, I got my thoughts clear and just went out and did what I've been doing my whole life. You know, we've been playing ball ever since we were little. So at the end of the day, you just gotta go do what you've been doing, man, and just try to have fun with it.
I think so for me that bit right there, this is the beyond the skill set, beyond the tangible skill set, beyond what we as fans can obviously see how talented he is. What's going on inside his head? What drives him? Why does he play the game the way he does? And that particular piece of there, I think it speaks to the love of the game. Like just he is chomping at the bit to get in the game. Now he's not doing it in an egotistical fashion of like, I'm better than these dudes. Why the hell ain't I starting, man? What's going on? Let me get run. No, he's just literally, he's like a kid in a candy store. He's sitting on the sideline waiting for coach to say, Rook, you're on deck. And then he's just so excited that he's got to go out there and settle himself down. And I just love that about a young rookie. He's not intimidated by the moment. He's not egotistical and thinking that he should be starting, which, let's be honest, he sees the same things we see. I mean, if Dameon Pierce came out today and said, hey, I'm the best back on this football team, it shouldn't surprise anybody. Hell, he sees the same things we see. But he's not taking that route. He's literally just chomping at the bit. And the minute the coach says, hey, you're on deck, I mean, he gets giddy almost. The love of the game, the respect of the game,
he's probably in their ears.
No question.
I'm ready. I'm right here.
No question. It just speaks to who the guy is inside, and I think that's part of what makes him special.
Yeah. That part. Yeah, I like to hear that boy. You can just hear it in his voice. Like he's not.
Ain't
funny.
No doubt.
He's like I can't wait to get it. Also, like so we know about the carries. We talked about it, the first run, the best run, hell, I've seen in 2 years, you said, since Carlos Hyde. But a couple of the other plays, we talked a little bit about the blitz pickup and then the interception.
Yeah.
There was an interception that he was involved in. Actually, the linebacker came over his back and tipped it and led to the interception. But he's the one who ran him down to make the tackle. And to listen to him discuss that kind of brings a little bit more to the type of cat he is.
Man, that's hustle and try to make the best out of a bad situation. You know, you don't ever want to turn the ball over as an offense, but when you do, you want to try to keep them out of that box, you know what I'm saying, and give your defense a chance to hold them off.
Make the best of a bad situation, keep them out of that box, which obviously meant the end zone, and give your defense a chance to get a stop or turn them over, whatever he said there. I mean, that rookies don't think like that. Like, and I'm not saying that rookies don't, they're not on the field when an interception happens and they track a guy down and athletically can go get him and make the tackle, can catch a guy and make the tackle. They do that week in, week out, definitely in the preseason. But I'm talking about the ability to then go to a post-game presser and explain, hey, man, you went and made that tackle. That was impressive. What transpired? Why? What drove you? Give my team a chance. Not make a bad situation worse. Give my defense a chance to get a stop. I mean, that to me, that again, it just speaks to the depth of Dameon Pierce, both from an effort standpoint, a hustle standpoint, yes. but more so just like what makes a guy tick. And it's one thing if we're talking to him after practice and they want to tell you how they're team first guys and they're hustle guys, and that's all gravy, whatever. But when a dude goes out there and makes a play like this in a game and then in a post-game presser says, just hustle, baby.
Which it looks to be like maybe he was thinking all those things. I tend to not think he was thinking all those things. I think it's just natural for him, right? Just natural, and he seems like he just naturally has that motor, like that motor where he is, as shown evidence of. I can't wait to get in. I can't wait to get in, and he gets in, and he's always going. And that's just naturally him. I'm gonna run his ass down, and that just seems like that's what he does.
Yeah, I guess it's more about to have the understanding of why it's important. Like why what you did was absolutely huge. And besides being an athletic kid that went out there and made a hell of a play, like where's your head at? And he explained in his explanation to me it speaks volumes because it tells you what kind of dude he is. It tells you what kind of teammate he is. It tells you that he's willing to put it on the line. It's easy to put it on the line when they hand you the rock and the play's blocked up free and you're going to go get 20 yards. It's easier to put it on the line when they're throwing you the rock. It's easy to put it on the line when everybody's tooting your horn about how great you are. But now you're in a situation where there's a pick. You got to chase the guy down. You go do it. Well, what was your mindset after that happened? Well, hell, that's easy, man. I put my team in a better situation. You know, give my defense a chance. Like, his response to me is one that just speaks volumes to what's going on in his head and what drives him.
Well, you talk about the person who has been on him as much as anybody. That is John McClain. And you can have a chance to hear John McClain as they have new episodes of the Utopia podcast every Tuesday and Friday. Sean Pendergast and the general John McClain cover all things Texans. I bet you hear a little bit about this new young star running back, Mr. Pierce. But they get everything on the field and off the field and get you ready for Friday's matchup against the Rams on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Seth Payne on a Tuesday coming up. We'll get his thoughts on Kenyon.
On what?
I said on a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
No, you said Tuesday.
I don't believe I did.
Right,
I said on a Tuesday. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on with Kenyon Green, how concerned he is, and how my man Ross Blacklock just taking them pads off at the half, and like he's just good, like he don't need to go no more.
We got a good question to ask Seth Payne.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, yes, it is a, what do they call it, a Tuesday? So that means
Tuesday.
Our guy Seth Payne, one half of Payne and Pendergast, is with us. Seth, how's it going, baby?
It's good. It's a happy Tuesday.
That's right. He said it.
I've been driving practicing all week.
He tried it.
Tuesday.
We're getting there. That's better.
We'll get there. I'll tell you, mid-season, you'll be right there. All right, Seth, man, listen, they're back practicing again as they get ready for the Rams. What's your concern level with their other first-round pick, Kenyon Green?
Oh, that's a good question. I kind of almost forgot about him. It's up there, man. And you know why? Because there have been whispers about him and potentially having health issues before the draft, and that might be a reason why he might fall. Who knows? We get more information about this, you know, as we get closer to the season and they have to start disclosing more. But it's natural to worry about whether or not you got a lemon, some guy that's got some physical ailment that was worse than you thought. But I'm just hoping, and my fingers are crossed, that he's just a little banged up and he'll be fine.
Here's my question about Kenyon Green is when he does get back, Seth, because, I mean, look, we're at a point in – training camp where, yeah, there's two preseason games and basically an off week left. So you're, I don't know, roughly 3 weeks away from needing to prepare for a starting game. A guy that played in the trenches like yourself, big bodied guy, how likely is it that a rookie that's in the trenches, although on the other side of the ball than you played, how likely is it that guy can physically get healthy and when we do see him back at practice, be ready to play sooner rather than later? I mean, do you think that's something that a guy can be ready, still there's time for the first game of the season, or do you think this is we're looking at you know, week four at the earliest kind of deal?
I think you'd have to mix him in if he's not getting any work in the preseason. I mean, almost everybody is bad the first time they go out versus actual NFL competition. If he doesn't get serious time in practice against NFL defensive linemen and all he had was OTAs and some of the stuff like that, he'll go out there and no matter how good he ultimately ends up being, he'll be bad at first. You know, guys that are future All-Pros get dumped on their face a few times the first couple weeks they're in practice. So I would be hesitant to put him out there in week one as a full-time starter. I think maybe you work him in and you see what you can do. But that interior offensive line right now makes me nervous. Yeah, we've seen a lot of tackles for a loss in practice. We saw it the other day. Now look, the Saints came out blitzing, which, all right, more power to you, Dennis Allen. You'll look great in the preseason. I don't think that's always the best indicator whether your guys can handle the blitz or not in the first preseason game, especially with a new offensive coordinator. But it's been going on in practice against guys that they've seen for 2 weeks, and they've seen this defense for 2 weeks. So, yeah, I'm a little bit nervous about this offensive line.
Yeah, I'm with you. Seth Payne, you're listening to one half of Payne and Pendergast. He joins us every Tuesday right here on Sports Radio 610. I was – one of the most surprising things to me was how Ross Blacklock was treated. I could not believe he was out of pads, jersey on, coming out of halftime. That I am really interested in how they view him. Is he somebody that is, you know, a cinch to make the team, or does he have a battle on his hand? But judging by how they had him, I mean, no pads on after the half. That was interesting to me.
That's a new one to me too, because Dom Capers with the Texans, and then my previous coach, Tom Coughlin, they were kind of sticklers about the no pads thing. If you were a 10-year vet, you still had your pads on in the second half. So when I see guys cruising around in their poorly fitting game jerseys with no shoulder pads on underneath, I start to wonder about that too. I get a little bit annoyingly old school about it and wonder how come they're getting off so easy. So, yeah, I would agree with you there. I think Blacklock did some good things in the game. He had a couple snaps where he got taken a little bit, which happens when you're getting a combo block sometimes. And I think for the most part, he's improved over the course of the first 2 weeks of the season. I'd like to see him make some impact plays in the backfield here, the second, third games, if he gets a chance. But, yeah, I know that's a good point there. Maybe he's already made it and he'll just be cruising. They won't even play him in the second or third preseason game.
What about the defensive line as a whole, Seth? He was maybe buried on the depth chart, but Okoronkwo, I mean, he was a guy that he came out and you just flat out can't ignore what he did throughout this first preseason game. But as a whole, across the board, the defensive line, what were your thoughts after the first game?
I thought Okoronkwo was kind of emblematic of just what they are as a defensive line right now. He's undersized, but he just never stops moving. So he's like a Jacob Martin times 1.25, I think. You know, because Jacob Martin had a good motor, but Okoronkwo just never stops. He's like the Energizer Bunny. And we've noticed that in practice. He's the kind of guy that, you know, sometimes these rookies will come in, and because their coach trained them to do it in college, they'll go through a pass rush drill in one-on-one pass rush, and they immediately sprint back to the line of scrimmage because they've been taught to hustle like that. And usually they grow out of it after their first or second year. Guys don't worry too much about that kind of, I don't know, you might call it fake hustle. But Okoronkwo's got so much energy, he does that all the time. Like, he'd win a pass rush, sprint back to the line, win another pass rush, sprint back to the line, then he's up there helping his teammates out. So he's just got natural energy about him, and I like him a lot. I think there are a lot of guys on that team right now compared to last year who I think are in that mold. They are classic edge rushing looking defensive ends. They're more of a premium on athleticism and speed than they are on necessarily stopping the run. I thought that Grenard is the guy that very early on, I think a couple times in that first series, he showed that he's continued to work on his technique, but he's one of the guys that is more strength than the guys I just talked about. He had a nice hump move on a pass rush. He got his hands into an offensive lineman and stood him up against the run. So I think he's coming along very nicely. And overall, there are just more athletes out there. Now, at the defensive end position, at defensive tackle, Roy Lopez is going to be just fine. I thought the guy that stuck out to me was Kurt Heinisch, because we've noticed him in practice, but I wanted to see him do it in a real game, or at least a game where tackle football is being played. And versus the run, he was knocking offensive linemen back off the line of scrimmage. Versus the pass, he was getting a good push. You know, he keeps his hands very active. So he's a guy that I think early on we were thinking, okay, boy, they might keep him on practice squad for sure. Maybe he'll make the roster. Now I'd lean more towards Heinisch probably being on the roster. I think if he keeps looking like that in these preseason games, I don't think that you're gonna. I don't think you're gonna risk exposing him to other teams to pick up and put on their active rosters.
All right, Seth. The story coming out of that game, and we've talked about it, was Dameon Pierce. Hey, you've been through these preseason games. You've seen how this can happen year after year. Do you think that maybe that we're putting too much on what we saw, or we're reacting too highly to what we saw?
Probably, but hey, that's the way it goes. I myself included, and I'm basing that on nothing but statistics. The probability, I would say, when I get excited about somebody in the preseason, it works out maybe 1 out of 3 times. So I'm excited about Dameon Pierce. There's a 1 in 3 chance that it's going to work out. You know, sometimes you get a DeAndre Hopkins. The other 2 times you get a Lestar Jean or some of these other guys that have flashed during training camp at times. So with Dameon Pierce, the thing that I'm hopeful for is, one, he definitely cares about blocking. I mean, he's the right kind of kid. He cares about pass blocking. He cares about run blocking. When he was the target on that interception, he ended up making the tackle 44 yards downfield after the return of the interception. I mean, the kid just hustles. So that's bona fide. That's going to be there. He's going to play hard for you. That's not going to change. The thing that gets me really excited, though, for a team that might be struggling on their interior offensive line, he looks like he could be the kind of guy that makes your offensive line better. Because, you know, some running backs are great running behind a good offensive line, and that offensive line will make them better. Some running backs make the offensive line look better. It works in reverse. And I think with Pierce, he hits the hole so hard, and he's so decisive. And that's something we've seen in practice, and now we've seen it in the game. You saw it in college, that the blocking doesn't have to be perfect. You know, last year, running backs were getting hit in the backfield a lot. And, yes, the offensive line is to blame for that. But there were also times where tragedy could have been averted if the running back had just hit the hole and burst through that first contact that he had. I think Pierce is going to be that kind of guy. So I wouldn't predict great numbers for him this year because of the blocking potentially being a problem. But I do think he's going to have a really respectable season. And I think maybe bring this running game into hopefully a new era. And then next year, if he can stay healthy and they don't use him too much, I think next year could really end up being a year for Dameon Pierce.
All right, Seth, man, we always appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
My pleasure. Hey, you know, after listening to myself talk, I'm going to up it to a 40% chance that I'm correct about Dameon Pierce.
Ooh, a 40%. So, just talk yourself up a little higher. There you go.
Yeah,
all right.
Pop your champagne. Yeah.
There you go. All right, that's Seth Payne with us. You can catch him every morning on Sports Radio 610 Payne and Pendergast. Speaking of popping champagne, okay, this is, you know, one time you're like, all right, it happens. A second time, like, Clint is a heavy cork popping champagne guy.
Oh yeah,
he almost put a hole in my wall.
I thought I did.
I did too. I thought you took out one of the lights up there, because I remember the first time you did it in here. You did it and you hit me in the face with it.
Well, if I'd hit you in the face with this, it'd have buried in
you. You might have killed
like
me.
It would have hurt you. Yeah, I'd have felt bad about it.
Yeah, but you.
I mean, I popped a cork over at his crib.
I am never that aggressive with popping a cork. Yours.
I mean, all I did was put my thumbs on it and push it off, and that sucker popped out of there. I literally thought it embedded in your ceiling. I thought, oh, Courtney's gonna kill me.
Everybody ducked it because you didn't give a damn about me. Everybody ducked and covered right there, did they? That was crazy. Yeah. All right, Dusty Baker, he was he was the man of the hour, and Astros fans are ticked off. But is he being fairly crushed? We'll discuss that coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle.
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.